B-Pod Studios.
We were supposed to have this gentleman on a couple hours ago, but he simply forgot. From High Times Magazine, Steve Hager. Hi, Steve.
Hey.
Thanks for coming on the show,
hey,
finally.
Thanks for putting me on. Yeah, sorry, I missed that earlier appointment.
Yeah, you kind of drifted off, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
Steve, are you a regular pot smoker yourself?
Well, you know, that I didn't really smoke a lot of pot before I became the editor of High Times. I used it, and I knew it was okay. Why it was illegal. I knew it was safer than alcohol and tobacco.
But since you've joined the magazine, you've picked it up a bit.
Since I joined the magazine, I find that I've become a regular pot user. But I don't think there's, you know, I have written, published two books. I founded the Cannabis Cup Awards.
Have you used pot today?
At 4:20 every day, I tend to take a little puff.
Yeah, a little relaxer.
You know, it's kind of like a tea break. Some people take a coffee break.
Sure.
I find that, you know, I try and get all my my budgets and my heavy-duty paperwork done early in the day.
Uh-huh.
And then I try and reserve from, like, 4 to 8 for more creative endeavors.
I've got to ask you something. You're working at the magazine. I mean, it's a fine publication, been around a long time.
Right.
And you got the offices and the buildings and what have you. Do you have a special pot smoking area where it's okay? Or house rules that says, all right, don't do it? You know,
have my own office.
Yeah.
It's called the Phoenix Nest. And it's nowhere near anybody else's offices, not even in the same building. So I'm not, if you want to, the situation in the High Times offices is there's no smoking of anything allowed at all. That's their situation. But
your situation.
I'm sort of in a special situation. I'm in the media center here where all the you know, video documentaries are done and all that stuff.
A lot of jazz musicians hanging around there.
Exactly. I got a 16-track digital recording studio. I mean, we want to schmooze the Tommy Chong or any celebrities. They're going to come over here. They're not going to go to the office.
Absolutely. Now you have a secretary, don't you?
Actually, I got a computer. I got a couple of computers.
Are you the only one in the building?
Yes.
Oh, so geez, well, that's a free for all there for you then. No problem there. I'm just figuring if you had a secretary, you know, smoke break, you know, call her in, ask her if she wants to hit off the stand up bong.
Well, I think for most people it wouldn't be feasible, but I do think when you get home from work, if you got a nice view of the sunset off your back porch, go back there, smoke a joint, relax before you have dinner. You'll eat better, you'll sleep better, you'll feel better. I shouldn't really say that. I'm not trying to proselytize.
Right.
People don't use marijuana. That's their, you know, forget it. Don't use it. You know, I don't care. I'm not trying to make people use it. And I do believe some people
be cool, man.
Use it.
Be cool, man.
Yeah, you're getting worked up now.
Some people wake up,
be cool,
you
brother.
Know, and they start smoking pot first thing in the day. It's like, unless they have a medical reason, you know, that's probably abuse there.
Come on, man. Don't Bogart the interview.
No, I'm just trying to...
Do you have a difficult subject? You got to walk a fine line.
Oh,
sure. Now, if somebody comes over to your home, do you have a special company?
And you guys are focusing way too much on my personal life.
What about
the 600,000 people that are being arrested every year?
And we'll get to that. I want to know more about you, Steve.
All right.
Now, you have company come over to the house, probably some very powerful people in the pot industry.
Who would that be, powerful people?
Well, like
people
a Tommy.
People around marijuana don't have a lot of power.
Like a Tommy Chong.
Yeah, I know Tommy.
Now, will you give him your special blend versus, you know, the over-the-counter stuff?
Hey, I'm like your average person out there. I can't afford high-quality marijuana. That costs, like, between $400 and $600 an ounce, like twice as expensive as gold.
Yeah, it's almost like getting a Cuban cigar once in a while.
I am not in that kind of range where I can really afford that sort of thing.
But you've tried it. You've tried the creme de la creme.
When I go to Amsterdam, we're deluged with it.
Really? It's all over the place.
Yeah.
How much better is that really good stuff?
Well, the nice thing about it is that it tends to taste really spicy and sweet It's just got a great taste and aroma.
Does it taste like curry?
And you don't have to smoke as much. You know, you take one hit, and that's what like five or six hits would be for your typical Mexican pot. So, you know, it's a lot nicer to smoke.
What do you prefer? How do you prefer to smoke it? Rolled in a joint, off a bong, pipe?
No,
what?
I'm strictly a roll your own cigarette.
Roll your own.
The new generation is into glass bongs, but I never got into that.
I always liked those breast bongs.
It's probably healthier for you to smoke out of a bong, though.
Well, yeah, with all that water, it filters it all nice.
Right.
Yeah. How long have you yourself been smoking pot?
Well, you know, I went through graduate school. I didn't really smoke anything in graduate school. So I've been, you know, on and off, you know, smoking pot since I was like 18, but mostly off, to tell you the truth.
So what really drew you to High Times then, if you weren't that big into the pot?
I was a reporter at the New York Daily News.
Now there's a nice job.
And I got into, I got fired. I basically, you know,
Were you smoking pot on the job?
No, I wasn't smoking pot then. I was trying to write political stories.
Okay.
I was very much into the Kennedy assassination, and it's been a fascination of mine for a long time. And I found that High Times was the only place where I really had total, complete freedom to say it as I really thought it was.
And they do? They give you total, complete freedom?
Yes. Editorial freedom. Won't find it hardly anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, that is
and
true.
And that's worth it right there. And when I came there, I thought, hey, pot, it's no big deal. I mean, I can go along with this. I don't have a problem with marijuana. I think it's pretty good stuff. But then I found out, well, it's only like the best medicine in the world, good for AIDS, glaucoma, multiple sclerosis, asthma.
Do you have any of those?
No, I don't have any physical illness that requires the medication of pot.
You just do it for fun.
I think it's the best stress reducer there is, and I prefer it to alcohol. I came from a family that mostly drank, and I find alcohol extremely toxic, and it also causes violence. I believe a lot of abuse of children and women is alcohol related, and I find that in marijuana cultures, like the hippie culture of the 60s, there's very little child abuse, very little spouse abuse, because there's the alcoholism is way, way, way down because they're all smoking pot instead.
You know,
I think that's good.
Yeah, sure.
And listening to you, I can hear that once in a while you would need a good stress reducer.
It's like, hey, I get pretty wound up.
Will you do me? True. Are you at your desk right now?
Yeah, I'm standing at my desk.
The spark went up right now.
I can't. I don't have anything around me right now.
What, you sure? Nothing in the drawer?
There's nothing around here right
no
now.
No roach left somewhere?
No.
Not even any resin?
Nothing around here right now.
Scrape a bowl and see what's left?
Well, hey,
I want you to relax. We've got a few minutes left here.
You know what? I will relax when they let the 60,000 people that are locked up in cages.
That is silly.
Out of the cages.
It is silly.
Because they wanted to use marijuana. I will relax when the millions of people that are going blind from glaucoma, people that are dying from AIDS, when those people can legally use the best possible medicine, then I will relax.
Jesus, this is almost like hearing the I Have a Dream speech.
Until then, I think we, you know, have a serious problem in this country. And I can't be lighthearted about it because I talk to the victims all the time. The people that are in jail, the people that have glaucoma, these are the people that come to me for help.
Yeah, have you served jail time yourself?
I was in jail for a couple of days once.
What, protesting, and you got picked up?
I was just a teenage kid, like, you know, swimming in a swimming pool I wasn't supposed to be in.
I've done that.
No big deal.
I've done it. Were you high on pot?
Nope.
Okay.
You guys are obsessed.
No, I'm just...
You guys don't smoke pot.
Let me tell you something. When I was going to school, I did it like it was going out of style, my friend.
Right.
And it was.
And it was going out of style.
And now you regret that you ever did it.
I don't regret that I did it.
You think it made you stupid that you did it?
Well, a case could be made.
A case could be made that I've been blunted by pot.
You really believe that?
Here I am. I'm a college-educated man, but at times my mind will go blank.
But you think that's the marijuana use?
Yes, I do.
You're being serious?
Yes, I do. There was one time I went over a buddy's house after getting out of school. He had a big stand-up bong. It was so great. I had an out-of-body experience. I smoked so much of it, I thought I was somebody else talking to me.
Uh-huh.
Really? And where'd you go?
I roamed around town for a long time.
Really?
Yeah, just walking around, walking the streets, floating around. And I says, I don't think I ever recovered from that. And I blame pot.
That was spiked with something. That wasn't just pot.
Yeah, probably. You know, that's something you got to watch, too. And I think you want to tell this to all the pot smokers out there, Steve. Watch what you're buying and know who you're buying it from.
Well,
because you don't know what somebody might throw into it.
That's the great thing about marijuana. That's why I tell, you know, people to stay away from synthetic substances. Any white powder, you don't know what that's in that powder.
Yeah, but you don't know who you're getting the pot from either.
But if you buy cannabis flower,
yeah,
you know when it's a good cannabis flower.
Remember,
you can just see it. It's a cannabis flower. It's like somebody tried to sell you a rose that wasn't really a rose.
Remember Paraquat? Is that still a problem?
No, Paraquat's not a problem at all.
No, you sure?
No.
You know, you never know. Some clown might, you know, get a hold of some Paraquat.
If plants are sprayed with Paraquat, the Paraquat totally disfigures the plant.
So you can tell right off the bat.
You can tell.
How? But, you know, I don't know, can you go and get a perfect, beautiful blossom somewhere? And, you know, usually when I used to get it, it was already chopped up in a baggie.
Oh, well, no, the really high-end stuff.
Or a manila envelope that they'd seal down.
Is perfectly manicured flowers in pristine condition.
I see.
That's, you know, $600 an ounce. You're just buying a pristine flower, unpressed, untouched, you know.
Wow. Then, you know, I might even go back to smoking if I could get a pristine flower. Come on.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're a connoisseur now. You know, you won't smoke a Swisher Sweet cigar
Absolutely
anymore.
Absolutely not. All right, we've talked enough about you, Steve, and I appreciate you being so open and honest about it.
Well, we're trying to show people that, you know, the government's trying to create this image that people who use marijuana are, like, shiftless and lazy and don't do anything and they're stupid, okay? So every year now, we're going to induct somebody at the Cannabis Cup, and eventually we're going to build a permanent structure where we're going to have a museum, and we're going to show the people like Bob Marley, people like Louis Armstrong, people like Willie Nelson, people that have been the most creative, enlightened people that have ever, you know, existed as part of our cultures.
Right.
These people were daily users of marijuana.
Right. Steve Hager, we got to go.
All right.
But I appreciate it. I mean, hey, why don't we have you come back on maybe sometime next week where we can just flag calls?
Hey, you think I'm talking fast now? I'll be talking twice as fast.
All right, we'll do that. We'll set it up.
We'll try and catch you around 4:30 then.
Yeah, and we, right. and then you can, for all our pot smoking lovers out there, you can actually spark one on the air.
Why don't you call me at exactly 4:20?
You got it.
I won't light up, but we'll ask all your pot smoking, you know, listeners.
I can't advocate that, but I can't stop them from doing it either.
That's right.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Steve.
Okay.
Bye.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2:00, time to light the fuse. Radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. They'll fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
A toy battery-driven bunny just can't stop beating a little bass drum. And we just can't stop beating a long dead horse. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Got to tell you about that High Times guy very quickly. He's still around.
He was a lot of fun.
He's written multiple books. He does a podcast now. He's like the head of the pot Illuminati. He knows.
I didn't know there was a.
Neither did I.
There's a pot Illuminati?
That's what he claimed. He started some kind of podcast about it. He's still, this guy was worked up the moment we, because he was supposed to come on about something else. I guess they were doing some kind of thing in Amsterdam or somewhere. You know, High Times was going to present some awards. And we started talking to him, which is the best part when we start finding out about them.
Personal.
And he got so worked up that they let him go. But he's still around. And that was from 25 years ago.
Can I ask you a legitimate question?
Ask me a legitimate question.
So, the president did not have cancer.
No.
He had COVID. But
yeah.
then he was given state-of-the-art medicine, and he didn't have COVID anymore, and made an appearance in Orlando and I think Tampa.
And
but then,
yes.
Then he got COVID again.
Yeah.
And he tested positive for COVID again today.
What's your question?
Well, my question is, I thought that we were having a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Yeah.
And he's
that doesn't mean anything.
He's taken every needle that you can possibly take and still caught it. And I thought the premise was if you take a vaccine, you don't get
me
sick.
I can only tell you this from personal stuff, and I'm not getting into any details where my wife works, but she works for a job placement.
She works company. For a legitimate company.
She works for a legitimate company that places people in other jobs. And I had this very conversation with her this morning. So they have their list of companies, and they find their candidates, and they go and... And she said to me, she said, do you know that there are still some companies that unless you've had your two shots and a booster, they don't want to know anything about a potential employee there? And I said to her, I said, who are these companies? And don't they know that with today's variant going around, that none of these vaccinations or boosters work? You have, and let's face facts, you have probably the most protected, boosted, masked person in the President of the United States of America, who's gotten multiple boosters, got the first two, been masked, been protected, been isolated.
I mean, probably the one person that follows all guidance 1,000%.
And you realize that after all of this, he caught a variant, mild, to the best of our knowledge. Did the proper isolation.
And they gave him that Paxlovid or whatever the hell it is. And then it knocked it right out of him.
And then you get it right back again.
Yeah.
Nobody knows fully what we're dealing with. I told you last week, I'm seeing an old lady with her grandson all masked up. I still see in certain stores and stuff. Your modern today kids stores.
Modern today
kids
stores?
Yeah, where the latest clothes and the latest shoes. And their employees are still all masked up. And I'm, as a average schlub, I'm saying this does not matter.
And when it first started...
You're going to get it or you're not going to get it. And whether you wear a mask or anything else...
And when it first started, everybody's, you know, we're giving it the benefit of a doubt. Well, they must know what they're talking about.
Right.
Only to find out, no, they don't.
Now, granted...
But then...
Back when it started, it was a stronger variant. People were dying, and we were trying to mitigate it. But I think we're learning... After 2.5 years, it didn't make a difference on how we mitigated it. You were going to either get it or you weren't.
Yes. But then you piggyback that with, I'm going to be frank with you. I wasn't a great student of economics in high school, but I was taught the definition of recession. And now I realize that they're going through the internet and changing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll
tell you about how I know.
Would you say that this would qualify as Orwellian?
Yes. I'll tell you how I know it's a recession. And it affects every person within the sound of my voice. I don't care what political party you're with. I don't care if you're a liberal or conservative or middle of the road. I like to consider myself pretty much middle of the road. I'm not as far left as what we have in Washington now, but I'm not.
Nobody is.
I'm not. Nobody is. But I'm not so far right that I'm to that extreme. I look at myself. And I just found out today, I'm a year into my new home. My electric bill in the last year has doubled. My mortgage, I have a fixed rate mortgage. It's locked in. But insurance, homeowners... Mm-hmm. All of the other taxes that go for schools
right. And
all of that stuff that is in my escrow account suddenly changes. And I get the news from my bank today that automatic mortgage payment that we take out for you each and every month that you are paying back on the principal.
The fixed rate that you got.
The fixed rate. Well, your monthly payment is going up. Your electric is going up. Your water bill is going up. And you look at prices all over the place and you say to yourself, something ain't the same.
But here's what it's about. If you have enough power, and I think the party that's currently in power is using all of it
they
have.
That's what you do.
You have people who are Nobel Prize winners saying idiotic things on behalf of that administration.
Yes, because, our definition has changed. It's still the same. Don't kid yourself. And whether it's to keep the public calm, whether it is to put a line of baloney out so that one side is proving a pointer, it doesn't matter.
And you have
whether or not you're in a recession. We're in a recession.
And you have to look after your own health and your own economic well-being because it is now clear it's all lies.
Yep, but we don't want to talk about
and
it.
We, I know, but we hope that they're well-intentioned at least.
But
we don't even know
we
that.
We don't know. We're not supposed to know.
And how can you be informed if you can't find out the truth?
I'll leave it at this.
Okay.
Internet, be damned. Whether it was Democrat or Republican for the last 100 and some odd years, this has all been going on. There's just so much information and too many people in that information highway with an agenda that we are bombarded by it every day. You didn't need the internet and everything else during the 70s to tell you that we had a gas crisis, a recession. You knew it. I don't need anybody or what administration or what side. I don't need anybody to tell me.
No, you just need to know whether you have an even or odd license plate.
Yeah. I just know what's going out of my bank account every week. And why is this changing? Now somebody's making money on it. We'll be
that
back.
You can always count
Stan
on.
Stan and Haney.
If you had a friend who was a king, what kind of a gift would you give him? Well, there are many people of prominence who have been thrilled to receive this.
Stan and Haney.
The world's most exciting radio.
96.
The quality goes in before the name goes on.
K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Look at our clock. Let's get a picture of that. On the hand of the clock.
What is that?
I think it's a lizard. Sitting on the minute hand of our clock.
It thinks we can't see him because it's behind the minute hand.
Let me take a picture of that.
Its Hold legs on. Are sticking out, Hold but on. It thinks because it's behind the minute hand
that, is
that it can't
wild.
Be seen.
That one's got to be put up on the internet. Let me see if I can.
So you think it's a lizard? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Be able to see it better on your phone.
It is.
Because you can zoom in.
It's a lizard.
Oh, yeah. It's a little baby. Now I see him. He came out after he sent you over there.
We're doing it again this year, and it's...
Oh, no.
Yeah. And but it's a good thing. And we're kicking it off this Saturday. We are once again doing it. Last year it was a huge success, and we made somebody very happy. The 96 Keys
okay, this
of Summer.
Is different than what I thought you were talking about.
Yes, that other thing is not for the air. 96 Keys of Summer. This summer, K-Rock giving you the chance to win a 2022 Indian Scout Bobber 60. Our big kickoff party is going to be this Saturday, 2 to 4, at Stu's Motorcycles in Fort Myers.
And you'll instantly become cool.
Yes. This is going to be your first chance to qualify. Throughout the month of August and into September, you'll be getting your chance to get a key that could start up a brand new Indian motorcycle. From Stu's. We kick it off this weekend. The K-Rock crew will be out there 2 to 4 at Stu's. If you get a key, it just might start up that brand new motorcycle that someone will be winning when we give it away officially in September. So we hope to see you out there on Saturday, 2 to 4, Stu's Motorcycles in Fort Myers, as we kick off our 96 Keys of Summer. Grab bag. The audio grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, US 41 North Naples. He hasn't moved, the clock has.
Oh, yeah, he's staying right. That's his time.
Yeah. I think you did the story on Friday, or I heard the story on Friday. Got more details here for you. Applebee's. Is teaming up with Winky Lux, the makeup people, to launch lip glosses that taste like the restaurant's wing sauces. I'm not joking. Does it stop there? I don't know.
Applebee's introduces lip glosses that taste like our delicious chicken wings and sauces. But there's more menu-based makeup, like Bourbon Street Glaze Nail Polish.
You'll be licking our steak glaze off your fingertips all day.
Or try the classic bacon cheeseburger cheek blush.
With the smell of bacon.
And don't forget our burnt onion fajita bronzer.
It's sizzling.
Applebee's makeup. Maybe there's a fry cook in the room, or maybe it's Applebee's.
Yeah.
Can I get like a some riblet bronzer?
I think you could.
Look like a riblet.
Let's see what else is going on.
This is not headline news. It's only August 1st, and Hershey's says it won't meet Halloween demand this year. Even worse, candy corn says it will. Taylor Swift's private jet emits more carbon dioxide than any other celebrity. But in her defense, commercial flights ban therapy cats. Exxon made over $17 billion this quarter. Usually the only way to make that much money in a short amount of time is divorcing Jeff Bezos. And today is Coolio's birthday. That means he gets free ice cream at Baskin-Robbins, which is super convenient because he can scoop it himself during his lunch break. This is not Headline News.
We have advised over the past couple of weeks our producer that when we've got a nice sound coming over the airwaves, you might want to capture it for later use.
And put it somewhere where you know where it is.
Yep. This may be one of the worst fails in the Sprite challenge. Here's a guy who chugs down a Sprite, immediately letting out an epic burp, followed by a girl projectile vomiting.
Wow. A lot going on.
Let's take a listen.
That's, and people find that pleasant.
I guess it's the challenge.
I saw a guy in Europe did the old Jaeger challenge.
Right on.
Did you hear about that?
No. Stan did the Jaeger challenge many, many years ago.
Well, I guess the Jaeger challenge has changed, and he drank a whole bottle of Jaeger.
That'll kill you.
Yes, it did.
It did?
Yes.
I believe it.
He finished. He was the champion, put the bottle down, and collapsed.
I believe it. This is going to scare you. If you were a kid, and it was prime time like the Flintstones were, if you were a kid and you watched the Jetsons on TV... Along the storyline, George Jetson has a birthday. It's today.
Really?
Yes. Here is...
Yeah, because that seemed like far future back then.
Yes! Here's comedian Shelby Young talking about it and doing a couple of Jetson voices for you.
Do you guys want to know something crazy?
George Jetson was born today,
July 31st, 2022.
That means we are officially in the future, folks. And in honor of that, I thought we'd do some Jetsons impressions.
Daddy said yes. It's the new instant stretch model, Mom. Just add water and watch the boys fizz.
Hi, Mom. Well, I was just taking a shortcut.
Well, good morning, George. I'll speak to my mother.
Well, what did George do now, the big bully?
Sorry. Mr. Spacely's on the phone right now.
So, yeah, actually, yesterday, July 31st, 2022, is George Jetson's birthday.
You know, that makes a good point. If somebody started talking to us in the accents used in 1960s television,
yeah,
we'd think they were insane.
Yeah. What do you know?
I always thought that George sounded like he was a little bit from New York. Didn't he have like a little bit of a New York accent?
I don't know.
You guys never watched the Jetsons?
Moving on. Will Smith has gone public now about his feelings.
And I don't think he got the reaction he wanted.
No.
Because he really put a lot into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he did. Answering questions.
And nobody believes him.
Will Smith put out a 5-minute video dealing with
him. A ponderously long video.
Slapping and swearing at Chris Rock at the Oscars. This happened, believe it or not, it's almost 6 months ago. Here... Will Smith answers how he behaved.
And it becomes about him.
Yeah, of course it does.
I spent the last 3 months replaying, understanding the nuances and complexities of what happened in that moment. There is no part of me that thinks that was the right way to behave in that moment. There's no part of me that thinks that's the optimal way to handle a feeling of disrespect or insults.
Now, because a lot of us said this, if you remember when Chris Rock was talking, Will Smith was laughing right along until Jada Pinkett rolled her eyes. Then he felt like, oh, crap, I better do something. He addresses that. The wife eye roll.
After Jada rolled her eyes, did she tell you to do something? No. You know, I made a choice on my own from my own experiences, from my history with Chris. Jada had nothing to do with it. I can still see Questlove's eyes. You know, it happened on Questlove's award, and I'm sorry really isn't sufficient.
I mean, that's just what he did was just the height, the pomposity.
Oh, it's self-serving. Now I gotta go and remember over the weekend people who have passed. Nichelle Nichols, Uhura, Star Trek, passed away. She was 89.
And, you know, it's a shame.
Heart failure.
Because many people had just learned that her name started with an N and not an M.
Yeah, correct. You're correct. Unless you're a Trekkie and you knew it. And if you heard somebody use it with an M instead of an N, you were, you know, dirt.
Well, you'd walk up on stage and slap that person.
Yep.
To defend her honor.
She was one of the first black women featured on a primetime show. Playing Uhura. She was in the original series as well as some of the movies. I guess after the first season...
And she played a very cool, competent character.
I guess after the first season, she wanted to leave the show. Here she tells the story. She was at a fundraiser and somebody came up and told her, "I'm a fan, don't leave the show." Here's Uhura, Nichelle Nichols, talking about this fan.
When the organizer came over and said, "Miss Nichols, there's someone here. He is your biggest fan, and he's desperate to meet you." I said, "Certainly." And I stand up looking for a young man who's a Star Trek fan. And instead of fan, there's this face the world knows. And I remember thinking, whoever that fan is going to have to wait because Dr. Martin Luther King, my leader, is walking toward me, not 10 feet away, with a beautiful smile on his face. "Yes, Miss Nichols, I am your greatest fan."
Told her, stay with the show. She did.
Yeah, I don't see how you turn that down.
No. Somebody else, I got two more people who passed away. For me, the last one's the biggest, but I'll mention this one, too, because people know her as well. Pat Carroll passed away. She had a full life. She was 95. She played her most famous role that kids would know. She played Ursula, the voice of Ursula in Disney's The Little Mermaid. We remember her as from Laverne and Shirley, where she played Shirley's mom. Her name, Pat Carroll. Here's a little piece of her work from The Little Mermaid.
"This one longing to be thinner, that one wants to get the girl, and do I help them?
Yes, indeed.
This poor, unfortunate soul!
And the sporting world and basic humanity, because the guy was true humanitarian.
And he had a lot of rings.
And a lot of rings. One of my all-time favorites, loved him as a broadcaster. When I was a little kid, he had just retired, and I'm talking about Bill Russell of the Boston Celtics, 11 rings. He had just retired, and when I was really getting into basketball, and ABC used to do the NBA Game of the Week with Chris Schenkel, our buddy, the late Chris Schenkel, and Bill Russell. And Bill Russell, I just loved. His laugh was spectacular. His insight into basketball. And growing up a Celtics fan, he was royalty. And he passed away yesterday. He was 88. You want to know how great a man, a player, Bill Russell was? Here's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar talking about Bill Russell.
He was the first player ever to win the Triple Crown of basketball championships. He won an NCAA title, an NBA title, and an Olympic gold medal, all within the span of 13 months. In 1966, Bill Russell became player coach of the Boston Celtics, the first African-American head coach in a major professional sports league.
He's the one that defined excellence in the NBA.
Taking the game to a whole other level.
The best defensive player to ever play basketball.
The most intimidating player that's ever played this game.
What a block by Russell!
When you played against him, you had to play your very best to have a chance.
He understood the game at a higher level.
Bill Russell, that's incredible!
He was a brilliant tactician.
He made the rest of the players around him better.
Bill Russell has just been a great winner.
One of the most unprecedented runs that sports has ever seen.
Another jewel.
Brown. The 11th title in 13 years.
I mean, he doesn't even have enough fingers.
Yeah, the standard that nobody can beat, and starts with Bill Russell.
One of the greatest. Very quick story about Bill Russell is right after he retired, and there is a famous, and I don't know, it's probably on YouTube, the edited version. I think they had to go and accept the fact that they can't fix this commercial. This was before cell phones and all that, and he was doing a commercial for AT&T and the phone system. And he was supposed to hold a basketball, throw it over his shoulder, and it was going to go in the hoop behind him. And his line was supposed to be, "I may have missed that, but you can't miss with AT&T. They shot that thing like 20-some-odd times, and every time he threw the ball over his shoulder, because they wanted the shot to be close, every time he threw the ball over his shoulder, he made it. And finally, they just said, leave it in. You made the shot, and you can't miss with AT&T either. And they said that they spent a whole day shooting it, and he couldn't miss. He was a great man.
Despite that handicap.
Yes.
He couldn't miss a basket.
No.
And it really, for people that don't have that disability.
What disability is that? The inability?
The inability to miss a shot yeah. in basketball.
Yeah, I got it.
You know,
I miss them all the time. but that's true. And I don't know if that commercial is on YouTube or... But it was a very famous
commercial. The man apologizing
yeah.
that he kept throwing it in the basket.
Let's do it again. Bill, we wanted to hit the rim, roll out, make it a close shot. He couldn't do it. So finally they had to shoot it with him making
it.
Well,
that's like Fonzie saying that he's...
Right! We're going to open up...
You don't ask him to miss
no,
the shot.
No, not Bill Russell. We're going to open up the phones when we come back. 277-9600. We got some new prizes. We've got some old favorites. We want to hear from you. Get some things off your chest. Let us know what's on your mind. Your opportunity. You know, so many times I see John talking to somebody and them saying, oh, I wanted to talk to Stan and Haney. Well, now's your opportunity to. We open up the phones every day. You don't have to have a 20-minute conversation with John. You can talk to us. 277-9600.
Because when you do that, you put him on the spot.
Yes.
Because he's a very nice and polite
Extremely
man.
Extremely nice.
He has a hard time, moving along and hanging up on people
yeah.
abruptly.
Do I have a hard time with that?
No, not at all.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
Did you know that when Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, he proposed answering it with ahoy? Ahoy! I like it.
Hey, Southwest Florida, you've stuck with us through thick and thin.
Feast and famine.
War and peace and everything in between. Don't think for a minute we don't appreciate it. No matter how we may come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney.
96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney here, Monday afternoon. Glad to have you along. 277-9600 is the phone number into the studio. If you're outside of our immediate area, it's a 239 area code. Phone still works. You can talk to us. 277-9600. I'll go over the prizes in just a little bit. If you contribute, you might get a prize. Less than a half hour from now, maybe 25 minutes, we will play the easiest game. Now, like we've told you before, the most unfair game. Mm-hmm. This is the easiest game. We're going to play reverse Name That Tune.
It is much easier than you would think.
We're going to play five classic rock songs, but a piece of them, and it's going to be in reverse. Your job is to name the band and the song. Pretty darn easy. But that's still 25 minutes away. If you want to talk to us, get something off your chest, 277-9600. Again, I'll go over the prizes in just a second. But, Mark, you say you were telling me as we were heading out, you got something for the rockers.
I realized something this weekend. Back in 1986, we didn't have the internet.
No.
And if we did, David Lee Roth would be a much bigger star.
How do you figure? He was a huge star. And then when he left Van Halen, he had videos on MTV and...
Yep.
He did pretty well for himself.
And this one, of course, from his debut full solo album. He'd done an EP with California Girls and all that. But this was him with his new band.
Yeah.
And I saw a video that I'd never seen before. And evidently it was his first live appearance with the band that's on this album.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it was at Cobo Hall, Detroit, Michigan. And it was in 1986. And as a Roth fan, as a Van Halen fan, it occurred to me, I've never seen this band live. And that makes all the difference. On this album and on that stage, on guitar, Steve Vai.
Oh, okay.
Who can play anything Van Halen can play.
Yeah.
And has his own bag of tricks. On bass, Billy Sheehan. And you barely hear him on the album. When you see him live, whole different ball game.
Well, that is the way most bass players are.
Billy Sheehan could do to the bass what Van Halen did on the guitar. You know, most bass solos, they stay low and they thump and slap. No, he was playing with all his fingers and the showmanship was unbelievable. And on drums, you know him because you're a big fan of Ringo and his all-star band, Greg Bissonette.
Oh, sure. Sure.
So he had, quite possibly, outside of Van Halen, the best band that there was.
If you're putting out a new album and you're a lead vocalist and you're David Lee Roth, the record people and the producers are going to get you the best people that are available. That's even, you bring up Ringo, that's because when he would go out on tour, he would have the best musicians available to make that band sound great.
But I'm watching this, and at some point I realize it's the first show because Roth said it was. And he was beside himself with happiness that they're pulling this off. And even he is amazed, and he's like, can you believe this band?
Yeah,
he
was a springboard. It was a springboard for him right off after he left Van Halen.
And the way that band performed on their own and in about half the set was Van Halen songs.
Sure.
And they were on fire. I mean, en fuego.
Available for people to see on, what, YouTube?
Yeah, I think there's only, like, one out there.
Okay.
And it just blew me away that if people saw this, they would have been like, oh, my God, because the album is a pretty good album, but it doesn't...
do it justice.
It doesn't showcase to the extent that the live stuff does. And I think if more people had seen that, his career would have gone in a much different direction.
277-9600. That's our phone number into the studio. We want to hear from you. Find out what's on your mind. Some of you might get a prize. Here's what we got available this segment. We have Hooked Up Fish Market, Fresh Seafood Market, and more. We got a gift card right there in San Carlos Park. We have in Port Charlotte gift card to get yourself something to eat at the Twisted Fork. We have Mighty Muscles tickets for Tuesday games. That's 2-for-1 beer, soda, and hot dogs. We have $50 to the Pewter Mug in Naples. 277-9600. I mean, I liked David Lee Roth when he came out with that solo stuff. He was riding the crest of a wave because he was the Van Halen sound. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, fellas. This is Hunter from Naples.
Hey, Hunter, how are you? Thanks for phoning back. We haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. I'm doing pretty good.
Good, buddy.
Yeah, well, I'm in the car with my little brother right now, and he's going to be a freshman in high school this upcoming school year.
God bless him.
So, you're on speakerphone, and he said he wanted to talk to you guys, and maybe
right.
You guys could offer up some advice.
Okay, so, and your brother's name is who?
Jackson.
Jackson? Hey, Jackson.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
What's up? Are you going to start high school? What can we help you with?
I don't know. My brother just ran into that.
Yeah. So he forced the call on you, didn't he?
No, he said he wanted to talk to you guys.
Well, what does Jackson want to talk about?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Jackson, do you know right from wrong?
Yeah.
Hunter, does he know right from wrong?
For the most part.
All right, then don't take crap from anybody and never back down when you're right, when you know you're right.
He already does that.
All right, well that's
he's
good.
Fine.
And he's got an older brother that's got his head screwed on straight.
Oh, straight enough. Maybe a little cross-threaded.
Hey, we'll talk to you guys later.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
277-9600. Jackson, not a very talkative guy. I don't know. Somehow I think Hunter put him up to it. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. Ahoy, ahoy. Goodbye. 277. What's the matter?
Hey, I got a Van Halen story.
Oh, go ahead.
Back in the late 90s, my first initial gig in radio hadn't happened yet. I had recently heard the interview with Sammy Hagar going out with his band. And David Lee Roth going out with his band.
Yeah.
And they were flipping a coin to see who goes first. Turned out it was Dave. And he was in Hartford. Well, I went down to CCC. That's where I got my tickets from.
Yeah.
And I asked them if I could trade in my tickets for an opportunity at like a gig there at the radio. And
what?
Yeah.
Trade in your tickets?
Yeah. This was the 90s. So like I wasn't really too sure how to go about getting a job in radio.
Well,
we didn't have cell phones or anything like that.
Let me ask you, did that work?
Well, it happened to be that she ignored me most of the conversation I was trying to have with her. And I told her, if you don't help me out with this, I'm going to stand on your desk and I'm going to take my pants off.
And okay. We're learning more about him that I
What made you think that I wanted somebody at a radio station that's giving away tickets would want you to give them back to that person who has access to as many as they want?
Yeah, I didn't know anything about radio, and I was just trying to get in radio.
And so you thought if you won tickets from the radio that you could bribe your way in with those tickets.
Yeah, believe it or not, it worked. There was somebody in the back that said, I don't want to see you pantless in here, and took my...
You got a job at CCC in Hartford by threatening to drop your pants.
Yes. Yeah, and...
Jeez, I told you we should have applied up there a long time ago.
I thought you interviewed him.
I did interview him. I didn't know it was like this.
My job interview there was they put a trash can on my head and hit me with 2x4s.
You want to get the phone?
You know how I got in radio? I seduced the lady program
director.
Yeah, and
that's the truth. That's the truth.
It is the truth.
I know it is.
Remember, she kept shaking her head. God, you're young.
You're young.
But I got to have it.
I got to have it. This 59-year-old body's got to have that young man. And Haney, would do anything at that age.
She seemed 59, but she was probably like in her 30s.
Well, radio takes a toll on people. Ahoy.
Ahoy. This is Clint out of Naples. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's your first name?
Clint.
Hey,
like
Clint.
Eastwood.
Yeah, how are you?
Like Eastwood. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, or Clint Howard.
No, we're not going to go with that.
Okay. I'll go with anything you want to go with.
He's going with Eastwood.
Eastwood.
Yeah, we'll go with that one.
What's going on?
Sitting in the Wendy's line.
What are they cooking for you?
I'm looking for vanilla frosty.
I thought they did away with them temporarily.
I don't know. We're about to find out. Hopefully not.
There you go. Okay. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy and hot damn. This is your buddy Gary from Inglewood, guys.
Hey, Gary from Inglewood. What's going on, brother?
Hey, you guys were just talking about David Lee Roth's band and all that.
Yeah.
I used to see Billy Sheehan, because he's from Buffalo, and I'm from Buffalo also. And I remember seeing him in Talis. That was his original band.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, the Billy Sheehan was on bass, Dave Constantino was on guitar, and Paul Varga was on the drums. And their first album is Seesaw, S-E-E-S-A-W, which came out with that song, Shy Boy.
Oh, yeah. And that ended up on Roth's album.
Right. Same with a few other songs, I think, that he helped him with.
Probably Ladies' Night in Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. I remember seeing these guys before they made it big. I used to see them at some of the bars up in Buffalo up there, and they were great back then. And I knew they were going to make it somehow.
Gare, can I get you something? You're up in Charlotte County?
Yeah. How about that Twisted Fork thing?
Yeah, I'll set you up with some Twisted Fork. I'll give you a gift certificate, something to eat.
Always a pleasure, guys. You guys
absolutely,
rock me,
Gare.
Man.
Hold on, buddy. All right, we got to take
now
a break.
Now, that band he put together, if you look at them just on their own as a trio, it's unbelievable.
Now, I know we had David Lee Roth on when he had the DLR band.
That was not this one.
No. And then we had Sammy Hagar on. Here's just before we take the break, I'm going to tell you this. And I've listened to a lot of interviews with Van Halen back in their power days. And unfortunately, we never had Eddie or Alex on the show, but I'm not surprised, because to get an interview from them on a radio station was supposedly pretty hard. I was listening to a Stern show from years and years ago, and it was the feeling that to get a member of Van Halen on for an interview was really hard, really hard. And then I go and realize that we had David Lee Roth on for a good long time. We had Sammy Hagar on for a good long time talking about those Van Halen days and the Red Rocker days and all of that stuff. And I feel privileged that we had a chance to talk to them.
Yeah, see, I was a Hagar fan long before he joined Van Halen.
Oh, of course. Everybody knew who he was if you were a rocker.
Yeah, and then when he did, I felt like they were better off going their separate ways.
Different kind of music. Still good, but different.
Well, I remember I knew they were in trouble because before the first Van Hagar album came out, they were interviewing Valerie Bertinelli, and she's going, "Oh, I love it. It's a different sound." And he's there's this one song called Love Walks In, and it's so pretty. And I'm thinking, that's fine, but I want Van Halen. Somebody else can make pretty songs.
Valerie Bertinelli. We'll be back. We're going to give you a chance to win when we come back.
You like her, don't you?
I did win her. Oh.
You know why?
Why?
Because my sister is her doppelganger.
That's got to be it. Stan and Haney. We'll give you a chance to win when we come back. Reverse name that tune. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Stan and Haney.
Well, I'll leave you two groovy buddies to partake in rock and roll activities.
96K Rock.
Hey, gang. Stan and Haney here. Our little baby lizard friend is now at the 20 past mark.
Well, time passes differently for him.
Yes, it's a different time continuum. He don't know what he's doing. He's camouflaging in.
As far as he's concerned, he's doing his job.
Correct. And we're going to try to do our job by letting you know in about 30 minutes, a little bit less. Going to get your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Hour from now, we're going to jump into the Wayback Machine. We're going to take a look at what was on the Billboard pop charts for this very week in a particular year. Today, we're looking at songs in the top 10, the bottom of the top 10, 10 through 6. We'll tell you the year we're going to when we get there.
Some good stuff.
Yeah. But right now, going to give you a chance to win by playing the easiest game we have.
Now, at first, it won't seem that way, but it really is.
It's called Reverse Name That Tune. I'll get to as many as we can. We can do a maximum of 5, but depending on how the results are usually pretty easy because it's an easy game. But I'm going to play you about 30, 40 seconds of a song, a classic rock song, in reverse. Your job is to be the first person to correctly identify the band or artist and the song. If you do, you'll have your choice, winner's choice, while they last, of what we have available on our prize sheet. We have the Hooked Up Fish Market and Food Truck in San Carlos Park. We have Bonefish Grill, $50 to Bonefish Grill. Mm-mm. We have the Twisted Fork in Port Charlotte. We have Mighty Muscle tickets. We have the Pewter Mug in North Naples. And we also still have some firearms training by John Johnson. Get yourself a certificate located in Cape Coral. Just have a couple of more of those left. I'll release the phones. We'll take them cold. I'll release the phones after we play the first song in reverse. First person to correctly identify the artist and the name of the song. This is an easy game. Here's song number one in reverse. Name it. Sounds a little more aggressive in reverse.
277. Yeah, a little more martial sounding.
277-9600. Name the artist and the song, and you'll win a prize. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Mark.
Mark, name it.
Werewolves of London.
Bye.
Oh.
277-90.
No. No.
I need the song and the artist. Song and the artist. Oh, so bad. Ahoy, who's this?
Stephanie.
Stephanie, name it.
Werewolves in London.
Oh, oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. And do you know who sang it?
No.
Oh, see.
It didn't matter anyway.
Didn't matter. Title was wrong.
It should not be.
No. Ahoy, who's this?
Steve.
Steve, name it.
Werewolves of London, Warren Zevon.
Close enough. Warren Zevon, yes.
Come on, man.
You got it. Do you want it? Do you want a prize?
Yes, I do.
Then stop your complaining. What would you like?
I'll take the bonefish. It's fine.
You got it. Hold on. You hear him howling around your kitchen door. You better not. How do you not know that this is the great Warren Zevon? Got mutilated late last night.
Werewolves of London again. Multifaceted brilliance with that man.
Here's another one for you. We're going to play about 30, 40 seconds of it in reverse. Classic rock song. I need not only the name of the song, I need the band or artist that does it. Accuracy is important. Both names are important. Shouldn't be too hard, especially with this one. Name it. Stick 277-9600. Artist, band, the name of the song. That's all I'm asking for, and you'd be a winner. Ahoy, who's this? Oh, I know it's hard. I know. It's okay. I'll move on to the next one. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Rick.
Hey, Rick. How are you, brother?
All right.
Name the song and the artist.
Mama's Got a Squeeze, The Who.
Say again?
Mama's Got a Squeeze, The Who?
I think we'll have to guess, but I think
it's a squeeze box, The Who. I'll give it to you. What would you like?
I would like Twisted Fork if you got it.
I sure do. You hold the line there and we'll get you set up.
Phone cutting out right on the keyword.
Yeah.
Mama's got a squeeze box she wears on her chest. From when daddy comes home, he never gets no rest. Cause she's playing.
Let's try this one again. Song in reverse. I need the band or artist and the name of the song.
Isn't the brain amazing?
Yes.
Because you're deconstructing this thing, flipping it right side back and remembering what it was.
So who does the song and the name of the song? Here we go. About 30, 40 seconds of it. It shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
I think it's a hit backwards.
Yeah, sure do. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this? There is, our phones are going on and off. Richard, Engineer Emeritus, needs to make sure these lines are working properly, like they weren't on last Thursday.
Yeah, it sounds like the same thing.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, guys, it's John. How are you?
Good, John. Can you do it?
Sure. It's Edgar Winter Frankenstein.
Close enough. The Edgar Winter Group. Yes, sir.
Funny story about that.
Yeah?
First time I woke up to watch Scooby-Doo in the morning, my old man had gotten the 8-track tape of that guy with his earring and his white hair, and I thought that was hysterical.
What would you like?
How about the fish...
Hooked Up Fish Market?
No, the restaurant there.
I already gave it away. I already gave away Bonefish.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so I got Hooked Up Fish Market. I've got Twisted Fork in Port Charlotte. I've got Mighty Muscle tickets for the Tuesday. I got Pewter Mug. And I got Firearms Training by John Johnson in Cape Coral.
Oh, I'll do the Pewter Mug.
Okay, hold on. 277-9600. Here you go. Reverse number four. Your job, the band or artist and the song. You're going to hear it in reverse. It's easy. Here we go. Number four. Name it.
That's when you know you got a great riff, when it when it works backwards and forward.
And the thing is, Haney said it too, your brain is an amazing thing because it is hearing this, it is familiar, and your brain is flipping it around to play it the right way, and then knowing the band that does it. What a marvelous computer the brain is. Here we go. Let's find out if somebody's computer is working or the hourglass is up.
And we don't know how we're doing it.
No. We're not supposed to know. It just happens.
Yeah.
Ahoy, who's this?
Cliff Naples.
Cliff Naples. Name it.
Life in the Fast Lane by the Eagles.
You are correct, my friend. You are correct. What would you like?
The other fish.
Hooked Up Fish Market?
Yes.
You got it, buddy. I'm going to give you a gift certificate. Hooked Up Fish Market is in San Carlos Park. They got a fresh seafood market, locally caught fish. They also have a food truck where you can get sandwiches and fish. And they also do the prepared boils and everything for you. Hold on. I'll send you over to John. Hold on. All right, let's do one more. Band, song. Band, song. You're going to hear it in reverse. Flip it around. Tell us who does the song and the name of the song. Here you go, about 30, 40 seconds of it. Do it.
Yeah.
877-9600. Band song. Ahoy, who's this? Jeez. Ahoy, who's this?
Sherry.
Sherry, can you do it?
Yes. Grateful Dead, I Will Get By.
No. No. I mean, if you were close on the title, I would have let you, but that's not the title
of the
song.
That's just the chorus.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is George.
George, do it.
It's all right. I don't know who the band is.
Wow.
I'm sorry to tell you, you don't know the title either.
Nope. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, who's this?
No, I'm not, no. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, it's Jen.
Jen, can you do it?
Shades of Grey by Grateful Dead?
No.
Oh, boy.
Nope. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Jenny.
Jenny, do it.
I'm thinking it's a song by Supertramp.
Okay. We're going to be here a while.
Yeah, I'm going to take two more, and then we got to take the
break.
And
this is where you and I have to realize this stuff was pounded into our head.
Sure.
It's not that way for normal people.
Ahoy, who's this?
It's Matt.
Matt, do it.
It's A Touch of Grey by the Grateful Dead.
Yes! A Touch of Grey. The Grateful Dead. What would you like?
What were they again?
I've got Hooked Up Fish Market. I've got Twisted Fork. I've got Firearms Training by John Johnson in Cape Coral. I've got Mighty Muscle Tickets. I've got Pewter Mug.
What's the Pewter Mug? Gift certificate?
What is... It's a restaurant in North Naples.
Legendary.
Legendary restaurant.
Do I get the restaurant or a gift certificate?
Okay, do you want a prize or I can hang up on you now?
No, the Pewter Mug's fine.
Okay.
Hold on, don't get cute with me.
Yeah, a little too clever.
Yeah, too clever.
And when you cross that midpoint between clever and stupid, you can't recover.
You can't, and he didn't. And he was this close. See, John has problems hanging up on people. You go from clever to stupid, mm-hmm. I'll hang up on you.
Yeah.
He and is
it,
so
it really
close.
Is. It's such a fine line.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll check news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails also update you on traffic. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Fred and Barney, Siegfried and Roy, Ralph and Norton, Stan and Haney. You gotta be shitting me. You can't pay me enough to say this. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Monday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. And thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails 30 minutes away. We're going to jump into the Wayback Machine, take a look at what was on the Billboard pop charts for this very week in a particular year. We're going to look at the top 10, the bottom of the top 10, 10 through 6. We'll also be giving you details. We're doing it again this year. The 96 Keys of Summer and a chance for somebody to win a 2022 Indian Scout Bobber 60 from Stu's Motorcycles in Fort Myers. Details on the way. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home. Our first look, it's brought to you by Firehouse Subs. 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. Okay, got a few things to start the day. Fort Myers got a disabled vehicle, 10,000 block of College Parkway. Also, Fort Myers, we have a crash. Gladiolus Drive and Tamiami Trail. Then we'll head out to Lehigh Acres. Sun's still up, so it's safe. Crash, Sunshine Boulevard, and 16th Street.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Just say the odds are with you.
Yeah, better. You got better odds. They're with you that you can avoid problems. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, Haney has today's headlines, and they're brought to you by Rubenstein Law, 1-800-FL-LEGAL. Also open on weekends.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay. What?
Well, it's another survey about books.
And how people don't know anything about books? That's going to get me mad.
I think so, yeah. Would you rather I not
do it? No, what's the headline say?
Well, the survey asked a very simple question.
Yeah.
When's the last time you opened a book?
Last night.
And they're counting everything from regular books to e-books to even audiobooks. When's the last time, not that you finished, but that you even looked
last night.
A book? Yeah, me too. You know, if there's one thing you can count on this show for...
Oh, since the beginning, what is it?
It is a wall-to-wall team coverage of whatever Britney Spears does.
Oh.
The good news? Britney has written a book. She's finished it.
Oh! Never mind picking up and reading a book. She's written a book.
You're probably not going to see it anytime soon. Oh, we'll explain.
Details in less than an hour.
A woman in Australia could not stand her neighbor's constantly barking dogs. And it went on long enough that in her heart, she felt she had to have revenge.
Okay.
We'll tell you what she did. And finally, you don't see this too often anymore. 62-year-old man in Missouri attempted to shoot down a crop duster.
Okay.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you.
You know, not everybody appreciates crop dusting.
Yep. I don't know if anybody appreciates it. It can be an art. Laughter. 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
57% of people surveyed believe life would be better if we always spoke our mind, if we were always brutally honest.
I don't know about that. 57%?
Yes. I know that's been our policy personally.
Oh, to each other?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mixed results.
Yep. Some good, some bad. I'm going to be a jerk about it. You go right ahead.
And you know I will. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
brutally honest things that are too brutally honest to ever say.
Top brutally honest things that are too brutally honest to ever say.
My favorite movie is Cats. I'm just marrying you because you're pregnant.
Yeah. Mama, where's the end of that one? Where's Mama on that one? Hit that one again. Not that one. Hit the other. Hit. Stop it. There.
Mama.
There we go. Why does Smoker Lady keep laughing?
Welcome to Chipotle. I have the stomach flu.
Stop playing her.
Yeah, I spent the weekend drunkenly surfing OnlyFans. You?
Well, it's, what is it with the same one? I'm staying calm. There is going to be a time where the hand-holding has to come to a stop.
You see, that's where you're banking those other things. So
right,
that we have
so they become your own.
A variety of things.
And you make your own little soundboard. This ain't Jack and Jill holding hands. Sorry.
God knows there's no water being fetched at the moment, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Did you see the way I was driving, officer? Of course I'm drunk. Yeah, I only stay late at the office so I can sniff chairs.
What?
I love the dog more than you. And finally, the very top brutally honest thing.
Yes.
That is too brutally honest to ever say.
Yes, sir.
Damn. You have an ugly child.
Elvis has left the building.
And that's today's edition of the 4 o'clock fluffer. Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Email.
Oh. Brain surgery here?
I don't know. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
I almost went full Dr. John.
Brain salad surgery.
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
All right.
This, you never know when somebody is going to listen to a podcast. This person who lives in Ocean View, Delaware, they think they have a stick pin, Ocean View, Delaware.
Do they?
I don't know. But...
John?
They were... Is there anything there in Ocean View, Delaware? Just check that.
Stick pin?
But they think they have one, and they listen to a podcast probably from... well over a month ago, when we asked the question, did you have your neighborhood store? Remember, that's the one where when Junior was still with us, he said that they had the nickname for him?
Yeah, Little Crackhead.
Little Crackhead.
Yep.
Well, Rob would like to answer it, and it's a good story. Guys, listening to the podcast, you asked about neighborhood stores. It took me right back to living in Balmer as a kid. We would all meet at Sadie's little store. They sold everything we needed as kids. Someone would deliver every day a tray of codfish cakes covered with a sheet of plastic wrap, and set them on the counter with a stack of saltine crackers and a squeeze bottle of mustard. We would shove the tip of the bottle into the codfish cake and fill it with mustard, put it between two crackers. It was so good, even though we had no clue what codfish was. That's good fish. When we got a little older, we got into model car kits, and of course, Sadie's sold them. It was a time of tester's glue sniffing. The older boys did that. The store stopped selling glue by itself. You would have to purchase a model kit, and you would get one tube of glue.
Was it lemon?
I don't know. We would hang out in front of the store, and the older boys would give us money to buy model kits for them. We would take the model, give them the glue. Needless to say, we had many model kits, but no glue. Luckily for us, one of our friend's father worked at Glenn L. Martin Marietta Company that made parts for airplanes, and he would give us very good glue to use in his basement.
Ooh, industrial glue.
Putting the kits together. And no, we did not get into sniffing. I now live in Ocean View, Delaware. I think I have a stick pin. Thanks, signed Rob.
It's always cool when somebody's dad has some unbelievable hookup.
Yep. This is from our buddy Scott. Hey, guys, we are learning incredible new things about John on a daily basis.
Well, this has almost been a deluge.
Now, I find myself thinking that it's just the tip of the iceberg. John may well be on his way to being the most interesting man in the world. By the way, I meant to mention this last week when it had some brief media coverage, but Japan is having a serious problem with monkeys.
Yeah, I saw that, and they think it might be one monkey.
Apparently, these monkeys are stealing infants, sneaking into nursery school, and attacking the elderly and young children. How long until the rampant invasive monkey population in Florida finally comes for us? Love you guys. Signed, Scott. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, I think it was last Thursday you had a caller who told the story of procedures at a military funeral. He said that no one played the bugle, so they used a programmable bugle, and how at the funeral, the man in charge of the bugle mistakenly set it to play reveille instead of taps. Boy, if that's not a scene from some kind of sitcom, it should be. I believe it wouldn't take much effort to write a script using that as a basis. Now, I didn't want to be disrespectful, but I have been laughing about that for the last 4 days. Now, here's something else. I am sick and tired of the commercials on TV from all the feminine ads and everything regarding hygiene.
And flow.
Yeah. From how they can make their female parts smell better to sitting on the toilet and pooping. And don't get me started on erectile dysfunction. It's too damn much. Some things just don't need to be said or seen. Is it just me, or does anyone else feel the same way I do? Yeah, I know these are all natural functions of the body, but stop already. You guys are the best, sign the Guardian.
I can tune most of them out.
Yes.
That one, though, about taking a pill so that you have a less heavy flow bothers me. Because they've got a kid that's, their head is right at crotch level as she's talking about this. For some reason, that got me.
Do you know... Yes.
Can we help you?
Yes, come in. Come in.
He's just shaking his head.
Do you know that when Haney and I were growing up, you could not show a woman wearing a brassiere, meaning just her top and a brassiere on? whenever they had the commercials, the popular one I remember as a little kid when my mom was watching her soap operas was the Playtex Living Cross Your Heart bra.
Yep.
And they would have to have the woman in like a turtleneck sweater and the bra on the outside. That's the only way that they could get those things on television. Now, oh, I've invented this thing to cover up all kinds of odors. Armpits, mouth, cronk.
You know, it makes me think of a particular episode of Happy Days when Marion Cunningham was on the phone with Richie. And Richie was calling from Arnold's to see if she needed him to pick up anything from the grocery store. And you only hear Richie's side of the conversation. And he says, "What? What do you mean by that? TP. What? What do you mean? Oh, Mom, you're allowed to say toilet paper over the telephone." Different time.
Yep. Wayback Machine coming up next. We'll tell you where we're going. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Something wonderful happens when you change to
Stan and Haney.
You'll feel better.
Did you say I'll feel better?
Yes, and here are the reasons why. Coughs disappear. Parched throat clears up. That stale feeling vanishes.
That is wonderful.
96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney. Mark Haney in the news in less than a half hour. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Then we're going to jump into the Wayback Machine, take a look at what was on the Billboard charts for this very week in a particular year. We're going to look at the bottom of the top 10. Hits 10 through 6. We'll tell you where we're going in just a second.
You're a brave man.
Yes, I am. And I explained to you, yes. And we'll tell you later. Traffic brought to you by Firehouse Subs. 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. Couple of things on the board. Lehigh Acres got a crash. Leland Boulevard and Maple Avenue. Bonita Springs crash, Bonita Drive, and Old 41 Road. And you are up to date. We'll get another traffic update right before Mark Haney in the news. We do it every Monday. We take a look at what was on the Billboard pop charts for this week in a particular year. As I said, we're going to look at the bottom of the top 10. These songs were in the top 10, the lower half, 10 through 6. Let's find out where we're going.
Hello out there. Peabody and Sherman here. The Wayback Machine, my incomparable invention for traveling through time, has been set for the year.
This week in 1978.
Remember, you heard
I do remember.
I'll bet you danced to it.
All too well.
Not so long ago. Now let's
Much too painful
up
to remember.
And still, I love the song.
Number 10.
Yeah, you can't blame Bob.
No.
Happenstance.
Bob Seger. Still the same. Bought this album on the day I stepped into the deep fryer at work.
You always won every time you placed a bet.
Your foot hurt?
It's tingling.
You're still damn good. No one's gotten to you.
The Stan and Haney difference.
I still own that same piece of vinyl. And as I'm laid up in bed, I'm wearing the grooves off of it.
So are you still the same?
Oh, I'm a very different man. Very different. But this song, this album, always brings me back to pain.
Still the same. I caught up with you yesterday.
Ow.
Still the same.
I think somebody has a fun fact.
I don't have any fun facts, but being from Michigan, after he passed away...
Who passed away?
Bob.
No, he's very much
alive. Oh my God, what am I, the hell am I looking at?
And he lives in Southwest Florida.
He was a Michigan guy.
Yeah, but I don't think he wouldn't appreciate that.
I think I'm having computer problems. And now back to the music.
What?
What the... Bob Seger is very much alive. And if he's down in Naples right now, we love you, Bob.
Look, Bob, he's a new guy. We apologize.
Yeah.
Who told you Bob Seger?
Who that told you he would... Where did you hear that from?
I have very bad resources.
Okay.
I thought you interviewed him.
Huh? Him? He interviewed him?
I thought you interviewed him.
Oh, I
did
interview him. He passed with flying colors.
He has horrible sources.
Yeah. That's number 10 this week in 1978. Coming in at number 9, this is another great song.
Now, this takes me back to happy times.
These chart songs in 78.
Hit after hit after
yeah,
hit.
Yeah, this is Pablo Cruz and Love Will Find a Way. Number 9.
Always loved Pablo Cruz.
Me too.
That's another band that was really big for like a couple of years and then fully disappeared.
Yeah, they had a few big hits.
All right. That's The Stan and Haney Difference. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Your dreams feel like they're falling apart. You need to find a brand new start. But you're almost afraid to be true to yourself. Oh, but it's all right. All right. Once you get past the pain.
Now that is the key.
Yes, it's the key.
Especially when your foot's burned off.
Yeah. Just think, I was listening to this song too.
Once you get past the pain.
Yeah, when my foot was burned off.
Were you grateful that you weren't crippled?
Oh, yes.
Because, I mean, it destroyed your dreams of sports.
Yes.
But you could still get around.
Yep, and pretty much fully recovered, except, you know, if I bang it, if I hit, like, the end of a table, or sometimes I can tell with the weather. But other than that...
But you couldn't skate like you used to.
No, sir. It was right in the middle of the season. The only thing I needed was right on the tip of my ankle bone, just a little skin graft. Just a little tiny one. Everything else grew back.
Yeah, you had that. I had head trauma.
Yeah, you did. And you kept wanting to fall asleep. But that was bad if you had head trauma.
Oh, that's all I wanted.
Can't do that. That's Pablo Cruz.
And then I went blind but didn't tell anybody.
Number nine.
Because I didn't want the hassle.
This week in 78. Yeah, I won't bother anybody. I can't see, but I won't bother anybody.
I'm not going to tell anybody. I can fake it.
Coming in at number eight. Oh, they were at the top of their game.
Oh, yeah.
In 1978.
Yeah, this is before the ballads.
Foreigner coming in at number eight.
When they made their bones with us. Badass.
You're damn right.
Do you have a fever when you're football?
Yeah, check it and see. I got a fever. That's almost coma.
Because I can't. How long before you could dance? You don't have to read
my mind. 10 months.
To know damn. What I have in mind. This was not a minor thing.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I was able to get back to school, high school and stuff, because it was towards the end of
the
year.
Were you on crutches?
Yes, sir. I was on crutches, and a couple of the my buddies didn't know how bad it was and would bump into me. Oh, a little bump. I'd fall right to the ground because I had no leg support. It was wrapped up. It wasn't in a cast, but there were so many bandages on my leg, it looked like a cast.
Well, that sucks, because then you can't have the pretty girl sign it.
Yeah, it, right. There was no cast. It was a lot of gauze.
So you got no benefit from
none.
That?
None. There was no benefit from any of it. None.
If you had a cast, at least that yeah. gives you a reason to approach it.
To sign it and stuff like that, but no.
I remember people that would have casts. You know, girls would put their phone numbers on them.
Well, those were the ones who smoked, because if they smoked, they poked.
That's Stan wisdom. That's what we should have done for Jackson when Hunter called in with his little brother. You should have told him.
Yeah, they smoke, they poke.
You sure look that way to me. I love this song. Because even when it was new, I knew in my head, if you ever actually said this to a girl, they'd slap you in the face.
Of course.
Are you hot, mama? You sure look that way to me.
High school Stan thought this song kicked ass.
Oh, it obviously kicked ass.
Yeah.
But if you said, hey, come on, baby, do you do more than dance? Bam!
Yeah.
Can we make a secret rendezvous? Bam! Before we do, you'll have to get away from you-know-who.
Yeah.
Bam! And then I realize nobody cares if you're hot-blooded.
No.
They just see you as contagious then.
That was the number
come
eight
on, baby.
In the land.
Do you
this
do
week
more than dance?
In 1978.
Are you hot, mama? You
foreigners
sure look that way to me.
Hot-blooded. Coming in at number seven. Another great super group of the 70s. The OJs.
Oh, yeah.
Used to be my girl. T-A. Used to be my girl.
Lowercase t.
Should do.
loving.
Yeah, girl, you got plenty of good loving.
Bam!
That's how I know. And I'll tell you so. You used to be mine.
Yeah, I did it. That's the Stan and Haney difference.
I used to neglect her. Oh, she wanted more than I could give.
Yep.
But as long as I live, she'll be my girl. She used to be my girl. She used to be my girl. She had a charming personality.
Right.
The girl was so right.
Right. Charming personality.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, right away. Not only good looking.
Oh, good looking. She was smart too.
See, they were woke before we knew what that was.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you so.
Foreigner made no pretense about it.
No.
Come on, baby. Do you do more than dance?
Yes, the OJs are being smooth about it.
Yep.
They look very complimentary.
Yep. They're not above a little white lie.
You know what? I'm looking at the 10 through 6 that we're doing here. There's not a turd in the bunch.
No. And our finale, I don't think we knew at the time how good it was. It has stood up to the test of time very well.
Let's find out. Our number 6 song, last one we're going to take a look at, Jerry Rafferty.
Just the intro alone is a masterpiece.
Baker Street, number 6.
That's the Stan and Haney difference. I think he put everything he had into this album.
I believe it.
Winding your way down on Baker Street. Lighting your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day. You'll drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but
Thank you. Coco.
Someday.
That's me.
You've already gave up the booze that I know of.
You still have your restrictions.
Some days.
Like a saint, my friend. Like a saint. He's rolling. He's the rolling stone. You know, for some people it's booze.
Yeah.
For some people, it's drugs.
Pills.
For me?
Yeah.
You got your suspicions, found it.
The number one song in the land this week.
You don't think I can beat it.
In 1978, the Rolling Stones, Miss You. Mark Haney and the News.
How many times, Dan, do I have to be slugged in the head before I get it?
Is next. 96 K-Rock.
We have a flat tire.
How do I tie a bow tie again?
What's the fastest way to Hartford Hospital?
Tell my wife I'm going to be 30 minutes late.
Tell my husband I'm not surprised.
Tell my wife if she has a problem with my work schedule, she's more than welcome to get a job of her own.
Tell my husband that I do just as much work as he does.
Tell my wife that if watching Ellen is a job, she should get a promotion.
Message from your husband. I appreciate you.
Bullshit. What did he actually say?
Please don't drag me into this.
Siri, call my husband.
Siri, ignore the call from my wife.
Tell my husband that he said he'd respect my choice to stay at home with our child.
Tell my wife I would, but she can't even get around to washing his overalls.
Did you want me to search for flower shops nearby?
Tell my husband that at least when I sit on the washing machine, I
send my wife this picture and ask her if the washing machine is
the only thing you've been sitting on lately. Oh dear.
Ask my husband what he means by that.
Tell my wife I think she knows.
Hey look, I googled anger management techniques.
Tell my husband to think very carefully before he says whatever he's about to say.
Ask my wife if she's f***ing Jim McPherson.
Tell my husband how dare he.
Tell my wife that's not an answer.
Is this my fault?
Tell my husband that I will not answer that.
Ask my wife if she's f***ing Jim McPherson.
Searching for a place to hide.
Tell my husband he wishes it was just Jim McPherson.
I don't want to.
Tell him.
Please don't make me.
Do it!
Send my wife directions to hell!
Say goodbye to the most amazing iPhone yet.
We're just like most of you. Financially devastated ex-husbands, unrepentantly proud fathers, and underappreciated employees. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. And I'm going to tell you this. This is kind of cool. Early in the show today, it was in the 2 o'clock hour, we told you, and we snapped a picture of it for you, that there was a small lizard that was... Annie and I have to have a dial clock in here.
Yeah, like an old school clock.
Like an old school clock. I've got the digital clock in front of me. There's digital things in the computer.
But if you don't, it's just not right if you don't have a...
Correct. And so I'm staring at our big school clock, which is timed precisely with AAA batteries. And I notice... Hiding behind the minute hand is a little lizard, little guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure, okay, he's hiding there. The hand's going to move. He's going to skedaddle, go underneath a door or something, hide behind a garbage pail in here. No.
He seems pretty happy.
He's perfectly fine. He has hung out the entire show with us.
He's like... learning how the clock works and how to avoid it.
See, he was sitting around the 8 for a while. Now he's moved to the 4, but he hasn't gone anywhere. He's exactly where he wants to be.
Except that minute hand is catching up with him now.
It catches up to him, and then he thinks it's going to get him, and then he moves a little bit, and then he's good for about another hour. He's something. He's our little friend.
Yeah. I don't mind him.
No, I don't mind him either.
I like to see anything alive that's that content.
Yep. Because it's something we're not familiar with.
No, I look at it in wonderment. And
it's like, what? Is it nice and comfortable?
He's
fine.
I mean, he's not thinking about death.
No.
He's not hungry.
No. To the best of my knowledge, there's no little flying gnats or bugs up there for him to feed on. He's just hanging out. Either that or he's so intimidated by that fast-moving minute hand.
What is this? Why is it after me? Now, I can easily outrun it.
Yeah, if I had to.
But it's sneaking up on me. You almost don't notice it.
Moving so slow, but then again, seems like every hour I have to move away from it. Yeah, I'm fine that he's there spending the afternoon with us. And you guys, too. Thanks.
He's a good guest.
Yes, he is. Let's get you...
You know, I'm almost inclined. I'd like to offer him a fly or something.
I would, too.
But I don't have any.
No. Traffic. I don't carry him around. Traffic brought to you by Firehouse Subs. 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. One thing on the board, it's North Fort Myers. Got a crash, Pondella Road and Cleveland Avenue. And you are up to date. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about another 20, 25 minutes or so. Mark Haney and the News. Brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme, when people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchorman was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Monday, August 1st.
Double M, double X, double I. You caught me completely. August 1st. I'm like, whoa, that's right. Double M, double I, double I.
Frightened you for a moment.
It did.
Didn't frighten the lizard.
Not in the least bit.
Although that minute hand is coming up on him.
Rolling right up.
He'll move.
Well, he's aware of it.
Oh, he knows it's coming.
But now he's learned he's got time.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to run.
No.
Time now for things you didn't know. Orlando International Airport.
Yes.
If you fly in or out of there, you'll notice that your airport code is MCO.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I didn't know it was MCO, but it's not certainly not a... was it called a different airport back in the in the day?
Yes.
Thank you.
Now, you would think it would... OIA would make sense, but no, yeah. It's... MCO, and it is called that because Orlando International Airport started out as McCoy Air Force Base.
Oh.
It changed to commercial use in 1975.
That's not as long ago as I thought.
Me neither.
Which, Disney was already open by then.
Mm-hmm. But that's where MCO comes from, McCoy Air Force Base.
Thank you, Haney.
You know, we've had some dumb presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah, we have.
And they get all the headlines. But you don't hear too much about the smart ones.
There were a few smart ones, too. A lot of them a long time ago. 100-something years ago. 200 years ago.
And I can't prove it's why he was murdered, but it could have been one of the contributing factors. James Garfield is the only U.S. president who has ever proven a mathematical theorem. Before he got involved in politics, his goal was to be a math professor. And he single-handedly discovered a new way to prove the Pythagorean theorem back in 1876.
He was a smarty pants.
And for that, he died.
Yep, that's got to be the reason.
At least a contributing factor.
It had nothing to do with a nutball wanting a job in the administration.
Charlie Gitto done shot a good man down.
Yep. You know who was at the train station? This is weird.
Oh, yeah, tell it.
Was Robert Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln's son was at the train station standing next to James Garfield when he was assassinated. You want to talk about odd?
Speaking of odd, I want to preface this by saying you should have nothing to do with it. It's evil. The Ouija board.
Oh, evil. Evilly.
Where did it get its name?
From Parker Brothers.
It got its name when the people who created it in 1890 asked the board what it should be called, and it slowly guided them to that set of letters.
Stay away from it. Haney and I go all the way back to when the Warrens used to, ghost hunters used to warn you about using the Ouija board. You want to go and conjure up stuff? You might conjure up a nice little ghost or something, but you can also conjure up the evil. And the Ouija board, evil.
Well, it's all evil. It depends on what it's trying to get away with. It may try to suck you in by pretending to be nice.
By pretending. Evilly. See, he jumped onto the other side. It caught up to him and he moved.
Oh, and I missed it. Or did he even
move?
He didn't
know. You know what? He went right underneath the minute hand.
He just stayed still.
Yeah, as it swooped over his head.
What a daredevil.
Yeah, he's a tough one.
Got a lot of respect for him.
A little rascal.
You know, with each passing minute, I gain more respect for that lizard.
Yeah. I hope he's here tomorrow.
Yeah, he'll go out, get himself something to eat.
Yeah, he's got to be thirsty.
Well, hope he lives to tomorrow.
Yeah, either that or we'll find him on the floor and then the cleaning person will vacuum him up.
But see, he's not worried about that. He has no conception of that.
No, he doesn't know that. Yes.
I was just going to say, sometime tonight, I'm sure that thing will come out of the clock and die somewhere in
that
studio. Don't
say it'll die. Don't say it'll die.
I'll feed it if you guys want.
Look, the lizard is alive, as is Bob Seger.
Yes.
And if I hear one more outburst.
I got bad resource.
And now I have to put Stan in a bad mood.
Why? Oh, about the books.
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
New survey, simple question, and very generous question. When is the last time you opened a book and they include just, did you read the first page? That'll count as one book. Mm. They count ebooks and audiobooks too. So given those very generous rules, how many books have you read in the past 12 months?
I don't know, probably 6 books.
I would honestly say countless. I don't know how many.
I mean, I'm always reading a book.
I would say more than 6, but I don't know how many.
No, I don't know exactly. There's always a book that I'm in, sometimes 2 or 3 at the same time.
1 in 4 Americans say 0. Even with the allowance for audiobooks. And that you didn't even have to read the book. You just opened it and looked at the first page.
In the last year?
Yep. 22% have not cracked a book in over a year. Another 10% said they maybe read one or started one. 36% said, well, somewhere between 2 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
8% said 6 to 10.
That would be us.
And 19% said more than that. That would be me.
But that's not reading the first page or an audiobook. That's opening the book and reading it to the last page.
I stand by that.
Yeah.
33% claimed that when they do start a book, they finish it. And the proud 1% said they, quote, never finish books.
That's so bad.
The poll also found the most popular types of books are mystery or crime, history books, biographies or memoirs, religious texts, and thrillers. You know what ranked dead last?
What?
We can all agree poetry sucks.
I don't want to just read it every night.
Small
just
doses.
Just small doses. Give me, you know, once or twice a month a Robert Frost, and I'm okay.
Well, if you're talking Robert Frost, that's a different story.
How so?
Well, because that includes contemporary poetry.
Right.
And a lot of people think they can write it, and
well, nah, they can't.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, you can't.
Roses are red, violets are blue. In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill? Well, the good news?
Yeah.
Britney Spears has completed her tell-all memoir.
Oh, man, yeah, I knew she could do it.
However, we won't be reading it anytime soon.
Really? Too many spelling errors?
Nope. There's no paper anymore.
Grammatically incorrect?
No, there's not enough paper.
What do you mean there's not enough paper?
Apparently, there is a global shortage of paper from too many people ordering books because COVID.
That is so pathetically stupid, especially after the last story. I'm mad.
And there's also a labor shortage at the paper plant.
Fine. And the bookbindery plant. Come on.
Her book was originally supposed to come out in January, but now it's all up in the air because COVID and paper shortages.
And Halloween candy. And have you seen the shelves? Right. Baby formula. Nothing there again.
And again, we don't know if this is actually true or if it's something they told her.
Right, right.
Because
I'm with you on that.
She could release it digitally.
Of course she could.
But then that would deprive her most scholarly fans who insist on adding a physical volume of the essential manuscript to their home library. So
that's what I'd do.
Well, I know it's what you'd
do. I know.
Because you are a man of wealth and taste. But it may be, you know, just something to placate her. So I don't know that I take it too seriously. But I like to report on all things of Britney Spears.
You always have.
Like on Friday when she announced that the 40-year-old pregnant woman went to the bar for the first time.
Right on.
And she felt really sophisticated.
Yeah. She's spectin'.
A woman in Australia is going viral after she went on Red Chinese TikTok and complained about the neighbor dogs who would constantly bark on a daily basis until 3 a.m. Now, she claims this has been going on for months. And when she attempted to do the right thing and just talk to the neighbors about it, be polite and just explain, you know, it's a problem. They told her the dog was, quote, old. And, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
I've heard that.
So they were powerless to do anything to stop it. She did not agree with them. She felt all that was missing was the proper motivation for them to deal with the dog. So she attempted to supply that motivation by making noise of her own to coincide with the dog. She put this on a loop.
All right, good for her.
Which, of course, made the dog bark louder.
Yeah, of course it
would. Dog was digging it.
Yeah. Good for her. Oh, jeez.
And it worked. She said it's been over 4 months now, and she doesn't hear the dog for more than 10 minutes at any given time.
Oh, that's good.
And that she can deal with. And says, quote, I think I got the point across.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, I love it when we get to do an old-timey story.
I know you love that.
That normally is the type of thing we wouldn't have been alive to report on, but occasionally these things still happen. The pilot of a crop-dusting plane was out doing what crop-dusters do last month when he began taking incoming fire. Someone was shooting at him, but he didn't quite realize it yet. He did notice a 62-year-old man on the ground named Donald Bates Jr.,
jeez,
who lived next to the farm he was crop dusting for. Donald had walked out of his house, and the pilot did notice that Donald was repeatedly flipping him off. It turned out he was angry and felt the old crop duster was flying too slow and low and close to his house. Then the pilot noticed that in addition to being armed with his middle finger, he was also holding a shotgun.
Jeez!
So, being a good crop duster, he decided to leave the area and crop dust a different farm nearby to avoid any drama. When he landed at the airport, crop dusting finish,
yeah,
he couldn't help but notice fuel leaking from a bullet hole in the fuel tank. Then he found another bullet hole in the nose, and at that point, being a crop duster,
yeah,
he knew he had no choice but to report it to the cops now. He was going to let it go.
Right, let it slide.
And then they went to speak to Donald, who admitted he might have been holding a gun just to intimidate the old crop duster, but claimed he never fired any shots.
No.
And, of course, you have the physical evidence on the plane,
yeah,
accompanied by an eyewitness that heard up to 15 shots. So Donald was arrested, and he's facing attempted murder charges.
Oh, jeez. You know, just try to, like I try being peaceable with Haiti. He's been crop dusted in here all afternoon,
yeah,
if you know what I mean.
Just crop dusted. And that's the news for today, Monday, August 1st.
Double M, double X, double I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mucky Haney, telling it like it is.
Are you going to give the people what they want?
Yeah, we'll do that to wrap things up. News been brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. We'll take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96 KROQ.
Listen to new thrills in stereophonic high fidelity. Sound with a new dimension. The new living sound of
Stan and Haney.
The realism, depth, and dimension of a live performance right in your own home.
96 KROQ.
Stan and Haney, thank you so much for spending your afternoon with us. It is greatly appreciated. Sean Roberts in at 6 o'clock, going to take you through your Monday.
And I want to congratulate you.
What?
You were the first to advise the U.S. Government that the Afghans are a KV people.
I told you that back in
yes,
like 2000.
Did. They're a KV
2001,
people.
2001, and you laughed at me. I said, they live in caves. Let's get a final look at traffic for your drive home. It is brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Three Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral.
But they were like luxury caves.
Yes. Oh, yes, they were. Complete with radio. Fort Myers got a disabled vehicle. 6 Mile Cypress and Daniels Parkway. Also Fort Myers, hit and run. 76 block of Blackstone Drive. And in Lehigh Acres, a hit and run. 2500 block of Lee Boulevard, right by the Walmart. And you are up to date. Haney did that story earlier of the crop duster.
Yeah.
Getting shot at.
Can be a lonely job.
And as I pointed out here, Haney's been crop dusting in the studio all afternoon. And when our listeners knew what was coming right now,
yeah,
one said, please play it, play it, play it, play it. The other one texted, oh no. It's from our old friend.
I didn't know it was polarizing.
It was. Well, I couldn't tell either. So, from our old friend, Eddie Boogie Taylor. Let's do a little crop dusting, just like we're doing here.
Hey, everybody. Everybody get on your feet. Get too noisy when you're in your seat.
get ready to release the tree. The sweet relief that can't be beat. We crop the food. We crop nothing. We crop nothing. Yeah, we crop nothing.
You betcha.
Went to a party the other night. Let one rip just out of sight. 180 acts, is there a dog in here? I said, hey, sweet lady, have no fear. Crop dusting. We crop dusting. Oh, yeah, we crop dusting. We crop dusting. Little John Henry said to Sue, I feel a little windy, how about you?
Yeah.
She said, John, I'm 32. Been crop dusting since I was 2. Yeah. We crop dusting. Yeah. We crop dusting. We crop dusting. Woo! We crop dusting all night long. Gotta dust them crop, baby.
Yeah.
Pardon. Classic comedy brought to you by Best Home Services. Appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
Our son, his name is Gene. He's a little cutie. He was named Gene for my husband's mother. And then we named him Attell for his middle name after Dave Attell, the incredible comedian. Yes. He's an old family friend of mine. And then my husband's last name is Fisher, which is also why I'll never take his last name, because I don't want to be Amy Fisher, who some of you my age know was the Long Island Lolita who tried to kill her boyfriend's wife. So we name our son, and then about a month into being a new mom, not a vulnerable time at all, I realize that we have named our son Gene Attell. Genital. Genital fissure. So we immediately changed his middle name. I hope it's better. We changed it to Dingleberry. Is that good? Will that do well in school?
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this.
Hey, I got a Van Halen story.
Oh, go ahead.
Back in the late 90s, my first initial gig in radio hadn't happened yet. I had recently heard the interview with Sammy Hagar going out with his band and David Lee Roth going out with his band.
Yeah.
And they were flipping a coin to see who goes first. Turned out it was Dave, and he was in Hartford. Well, I went down to CCC. That's where I got my tickets from.
Yeah.
And I asked them if I could trade in my tickets for an opportunity at like a gig there at the radio. And
what?
Yeah.
Trade in your tickets.
Yeah, this was the 90s, so like I wasn't really too sure how to go about getting a job in radio.
Well, man,
we didn't have cell phones or anything like that.
Let me ask you, did that work?
Well, it happened to be that she ignored me most of the conversation I was trying to have with her, and I told her, if you don't help me out with this, I'm going to stand on your desk and I'm going to take my pants off.
And okay. We're learning more about him that I
What made you think that?
I wanted
somebody at a radio station that's giving away tickets would want you to give them back to that person who has access to as many as they want.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about radio, and I was just trying to get in radio.
And so you thought if you won tickets from the radio that you could bribe your way in with those tickets.
Yeah, believe it or not, it worked. There was somebody in the back that said, I don't want to see you pantless in here, and took my...
You got a job at CCC in Hartford by threatening to drop your pants.
Yes. Yeah, and...
Jeez, I told you we should have applied up there a long time ago.
I thought you interviewed him.
I did interview him. I didn't know it was like this.
My job interview there was they put a trash can on my head and hit me with 2x4s.
You want to get the phone?
You know how I got in radio? I seduced the lady program
director.
Yeah,
and that's the truth.
That's the truth.
It is the truth.
I know it is.
Remember, she kept shaking her hand. God, you're young.
You're young.
But I got to have it.
I got to have it. This 59-year-old body's got to have that young man. And Haney, Haney would do anything at that age.
She seemed 59, but she was probably like in her 30s.
Well, radio takes a toll on people.
Ahoy and hot damn. This is your buddy Gary from Inglewood, guys.
Hey, Gary from Inglewood. What's going on, brother?
Hey, you guys were just talking about David Lee Roth's band and all that.
Yeah.
I used to see Billy Sheehan, because he's from Buffalo, and I'm from Buffalo also. And I remember seeing him in Talis. That was his original band.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, the Billy Sheehan was on bass, Dave Constantino was on guitar, and Paul Varga was on the drums. And their first album is Seesaw, S-E-E-S-A-W, which came out with that song Shy Boy.
Oh, yeah. And that ended up on Roth's album.
Right. Same with a few other songs, I think, that he helped him with.
Probably Ladies' Night in Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. I remember seeing these guys before they made it big. I used to see them at some of the bars up in Buffalo up there, and they were great back then. And I knew they were going to make it somehow.
Gare, can I get you something? You're up in Charlotte County?
Yeah. How about that Twisted Fork thing?
Yeah, I'll set you up with some Twisted Fork. I'll give you a gift certificate, something to eat.
Always a pleasure, guys. You guys
absolutely,
rock me,
Gare.
Man.
Hold on, buddy. All right, we got to take
now
a break.
Now, that band he put together, if you look at them just on their own as a trio, it's unbelievable.
Now, I know we had David Lee Roth on when he had the DLR band.
That was not this one.
No. And then we had Sammy Hagar on. And unfortunately, we never had Eddie or Alex on the show. But I'm not surprised, because to get an interview from them on a radio station was supposedly pretty hard. I was listening to a Stern show and from years and years ago, and it was the feeling that to get a member of Van Halen on for an interview was really hard. And then I go and realize that we had David Lee Roth on for a good long time. We had Sammy Hagar on for a good long time, talking about those Van Halen days and the Red Rocker days and all of that stuff. And I feel privileged that we had a chance to talk to them.
Yeah, see, I was a Hagar fan long before he joined Van Halen.
Oh, of course. Everybody knew who he was if you were a rocker.
Yeah, and then when he did, I felt like they were better off going their separate ways.
Different kind of music. Still good, but different.
Well, I remember I knew they were in trouble because before the first Van Hagar album came out, they were interviewing Valerie Bertinelli, and she's going, "Oh, I love it. It's a different sound, and he's there's this one song called Love Walks In, and it's so pretty." And I'm thinking, that's fine, but I want Van Halen. Somebody else can make pretty songs.
Valerie Bertinelli. We'll be back. We're going to give you a chance to win when we come back. We're going to
play. You
like
her, don't you?
I did win her. Oh.
You know why?
Why?
Because my sister is her doppelganger.
That's got to be it.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.